Time is 7:48. Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning to you. Apologies, we are slightly late. How are you?
Good, thanks, and you? Shabbat Shuvah. What can I say? Yeah. My best behavior.
Oh, please don't be. Please do not be. Shabbat Shuvah is this evening, and you want something to repent about. So for any of our non-Jewish listeners, just the period between the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, which is on Wednesday, is known as the 10 days of repentance. This Shabbat is known as the Shabbat of repentance, Shabbat Shuvah. So even Rolene Marks is being on her best behavior, but I think she can wait. I think she can wait until, well, at least wait until another 12 minutes or so, if you don't mind. And then you can do all the repentance that you need.
As I always say, for you, anything.
Great.
So.
Exactly, because we don't want you rushing into repentance. All right, let's take a look at some of the big stories. Let's start off with a terrible story, a very ugly story down in Australia, in Melbourne. Tell us what happened there.
Well, you know, I had to read this twice, just because of the age of the children that are victims of anti-Semitic bullying. And what is interesting is that it has made major headlines across Australian papers. I saw it as the top headline in The Age, which is the leading Melbourne-based newspaper yesterday. And it's two shocking accounts of bullying at two different schools in the state of Victoria. And the one case, and this is just, it's, I can't believe it. And I've spoken to Jewish children around the world on my travels this year, as young as 14, who have spoken to me about, anti-Semitic harassment at school, the kind of bullying they are enduring, but a child of 5. So the background to the story is a 5-year-old little boy who's in junior school. He keeps wetting himself. He wets the bed, and he came home one day from school and he told his mother, I'm a Jewish rat. Now, where would a 5-year-old get this kind of language from? And on investigation, it has been found out that the child was repeatedly teased and ridiculed because he is circumcised, and it got to the point where he would rather wet himself in class than go to the bathroom. And the other kind of insults that this little boy endured was, you dirty Jew, you Jewish cockroach. And one day he told his mother, Mommy, you shouldn't love me, I'm a worthless Jewish rodent, I'm vermin. This is a 5-year-old child.
There actually no words for it? I mean, there are words, we just can't use them.
I also don't have the words for this. Yeah, it's taken me at least the last 24 hours to try and digest the story.
Incredible. And what happened with that? What was the, what it was, I mean, we know what was going on, but how are they dealing with it?
Well, they're not dealing with it as we would hope they would be dealing with it. The school said, you know, well, basically, you know, we weren't there at the time. We didn't witness the accounts. What we can do for the child is give him his own private bathroom, which also just singles him out.
Oh, gosh, yes. Jews go this way, please. Yes.
You know, we love being put in a line and separated from people. Howard just does it for us.
Unfortunately, and, some experience with that.
The other account is a 12-year-old little boy who was forced to kiss the feet, and the photograph of this is making front page headlines in Israel today, was forced to kiss the feet of a Muslim student, 12-year-old little boy, faced threats of violence by other 12 and 13 years old, and he was called Jewish ape. He was called Jewish, the N-word. He was called Jewish gimp, and he was physically assaulted in the corridor in the school by one of the abusers, who punched him in the face and punched him in the back, and also proceeded to gouge some skin out of his shoulder. Now, you would hope that the school would do something, Howard.
One would, and
one would. These incidents didn't take place at schools, with dodgy reputations. These took place at schools where school fees are $14,000 annually. Mm-hmm. Very, very upmarket private schools. One of them is the Cheltenham Secondary College, and they refused to investigate the incident where the child was forced to kiss the feet of the other student. They say, well, it took place in a park, and therefore they aren't responsible by what has happened. But I do know that the Anti-Defamation Council in Australia, specifically in Melbourne, are taking the schools to task and trying to find out what they can do to toughen up legislation. And reading accounts on social media, some of the comments from people were like, well, these kids need to be taught to stand up for themselves. You know, maybe if they stood up for themselves, this wouldn't happen. Is this a good enough argument? I want to know.
Yeah, it's very, very frightening because, it's all very well to distance yourself from it because by saying that, it didn't happen on school grounds. But if we don't actually deal with the reasons that this is happening, then unfortunately we're never going to actually settle it.
And it starts at home. I know that the parents of the 12-year-old boy met with the parents of the Muslim student, and they were apparently horrified. They said that, this is not how they are raising their child. They want to build bridges with other religions, not have this kind of behavior that creates division and creates pain. But, where do we start? Do we start with the parents? Do we start with the schools? What needs to happen? And, just looking at incidents over the Yontavim, over the Chagim, the incidents in New York just getting more and more prevalent. I know police there are investigating a case where a brick was thrown through a shul window during Rosh Hashanah services. This is very real. This is something that we cannot dismiss. We cannot say, well, it happens there, it happens there, it doesn't affect us all. This affects us all. And when children as young as 5 are coming home with the rhetoric, mommy, don't love me, I'm a Jewish rodent, we have a global crisis.
Absolutely. This is what, there's no other way to describe it but as a global crisis. It is really, and we're seeing this everywhere. We are seeing this as, all over the New York as you mentioned, has become a massive, massive problem. What has happened in the court in Strasbourg is also interesting, with the court ruling that Holocaust denial is not a human right. Can you just backtrack this story and just try and explain it to me, please?
And I thought I was going insane when I read that. It's like, it shouldn't be even up for debate. Mm. So basically what happened was a case was taken to the High Court in Strasbourg in France. I'm not going to say it with a French accent, because then I'll really need to repent for my slaughter of the French language.
Exactly. We've got to be very careful about things like that. Mm-hmm.
This case was taken to the High Court. The neo-Nazi said that it was his right to deny the Holocaust, and the judge in this case ruled that it's not a right. It's not your human right. There is a line between free speech and hate speech. We spoke last week about the Prime Minister of Malaysia, and he's hiding his hate speech behind free speech. There is a line between free speech and denial of the Holocaust. Holocaust denial in many countries in Europe, I think including in France, is a crime. It's a crime that you can be sentenced for, and rightly so. It always amazes me that, the Nazis kept such impeccable records of their crimes, and yet people still deny this today.
Yeah, and it's all hidden behind. You see, we've confused this issue of personal rights. It's my right to do whatever I choose. But what we haven't looked at is where my rights start infringing on other people's rights. And it's actually not a particularly confusing concept. So when I'm allowed to do everything or I should be allowed to do everything within my personal right and to showcase my personal freedom until it starts impacting on other people in a way that is objectively problematic. And, it's quite unbelievable that we've really lost it. We've lost this measure. There's a story actually, about a guy that goes into, it's a Michelin star restaurant. I've got it to talk about a bit later. If we have the time, he goes into a Michelin star restaurant, a well known for its meat products and its steaks. And, he puts a scathing review on because they didn't have some vegan products for him. And the chef actually insulted him on social media. That's where the story actually came to life. And he said, you know, if I walk into a vegan restaurant and I demand a steak, they're going to say, no, we don't do that. Why do I have to in a well-known meat restaurant? You know, there are options, but obviously there weren't enough options for this bloke. Well, then go to another restaurant. You know, so we are so caught up in our own demand for what we think is or our own entitlement that we've got no concept that we can't function in a world that way.
Absolutely, the world's gone insane. We are offended over everything.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is then it's very hard to tell objectively what is problematic and what isn't. You know, so absolutely. a vegan demanding larger choices in a meat restaurant is almost viewed as the same as Holocaust denial because it's all about freedom of expression. We've smudged everything into one and I think deliberately lost the measure of determining what is and what isn't objectively problematic.
We've lost the plot, Howard. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, I could go on forever, and you and I have like a lot of interesting discussions offline about just how loon the world has gone.
It is. It's just gone 8 o'clock. But before I let you go, won't you just tell us very quickly, is the Likud primary going to take place, or is this all just a figment of our imagination?
It could be a figment of our imagination. Just when we think we're moving forward, we have to take 10 steps back. So the Likud primary, which we thought could happen in a couple of months, will now be scheduled for next year. But it's going to be interesting. And in like an epic tweet by Gideon Sa'ar, who is the nearest rival to Netanyahu, he just said two words, Howard. He said, I'm ready.
Ooh. Okay, it's better than the other two words he could have said. Raleen Marks, you go and have a good run. Exactly. You go and repent for everything that you've said, and I'll wait till after the show to start doing that. It is 8 o'clock. Have a Shabbat Shalom, and we won't speak to you before Yom Kippur. Have a Gemar Chatima Tova and a meaningful fast. It is 8:01.